Let me pray with you. God, there's suffering all around us. Man is a few days and full of trouble, said Job. And you have told us over and over again in your words that there will be tribulation in this world. God, we come to you because you are sovereign. And even in the middle of things we don't understand, we trust you because you're in control. I pray today that you will minister to hearts through the word as you have through song. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's children said, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter as we contemplate this question, why do people suffer? And Peter talks about suffering no less than 15 times in the book of 1 Peter. He talks about or uses the word suffering. And I want us to talk about that this morning. Why do people suffer? And when people suffer, what are we going to do and how are we going to help? In your sermon notes, there's a quote from Chuck Swindoll. Swindoll is one of my favorite preachers and one of my favorite authors. And listen to what he says. We don't look alike. We don't dress alike. We have different tastes in food. How many of you know that's supposed to be eat? The books we read, the cars we drive, and the music we enjoy. We have dissimilar backgrounds, goals, and motivations. We work at different jobs. We enjoy different hobbies. We ascribe to a different variety of philosophies and differ over politics. We have our own unique convictions on child rearing and education. Our weights vary. Our heights vary. So does the color of our skin. But there's one thing we all have in common. We all know what it means to hurt. And Peter speaks to that. Look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Christ, to those who reside as aliens. Would you underline that word, whatever translation you may be using? Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and who had chosen. It's around 53 to 63 A.D. when Simon Peter is writing, and he writes to these five provinces of Asia Minor. Asia Minor is modern-day Turkey. And he writes to them on the issue of suffering. Drop down, if you will, in your Bibles to verse 6 and underline when we read it the word trials. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. The word trials there that Peter uses is a very broad term for trial. It's not narrow. It's very broad because all of us go through things in life. That was certainly true of the people that Peter were writing to. They were going through great persecution from the Romans. Many of them were Gentiles. That's why he uses the word aliens. He uses the word pilgrim sometimes or stranger because the Gentiles had no rights in the land that they were living. They couldn't even vote. They were seen as less than citizens, so he calls them strangers or aliens. And they were being persecuted socially. They were being persecuted politically. They were being persecuted domestically. They were being persecuted spiritually. And so he uses a very, very broad term in the word trials. And I'm glad he does that. Because at every age and level, people are going through difficulty and trials. How many of you know that students, and some of our students are in here this morning, students go through a different kind of trial and suffering than our adults do. You ever said this? Now, when I was a child. Well, can I tell you, by every standard of today, we never were children. We never were young. When you consider the pressure and the difficulties and the trials that they walk through, peer pressure. Unbelievable to have to walk through peer pressure and body image and that whole thing. And then you grow and you establish your family. And you struggle in a lot of different ways. You struggle to get along, and you want your home to represent heaven, and you struggle to do that. And you struggle financially, and you struggle to kind of find out who you are. And dads sometimes feel the crunch, especially with the financial tightness that we're living in right now. And then there comes that call that you never thought you would hear. You've got a terminal illness. You may not live beyond 3 months. At most, you're going to live a year. Everybody in this room this morning is going through some type of trial. You're either in suffering, just came out of suffering, or you're going into suffering, because everybody suffers. And that's what we have to understand. Suffering is a part of life. Even the things we saw on the screen that were very moving and very powerful, those things are a part of life. It just happens. So here's the issue. If everybody in here, regardless of your age, if everybody in here is going to struggle, going to go through trials, and going to suffer, how are we going to deal with it? And that's what Peter answers in this first chapter. He answers, when looking at the trials of life, here's how you deal with them. And there are three things we're going to say. First of all, we focus on the future. But now we can't focus on the future until we know that we're in the body, till we know that we're saved. And how can we know that? Well, look at what he says in verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, underline that. Foreknowledge here does not simply mean to know. Certainly God knows who's going to heaven, but that's not what it means. What it means is God who foreknew our sin. God who knew Adam was going to fall, so before Adam ever fell, before the foundation of the world, Christ was counted as the Lamb slain. God knows that you and I were going to sin, and so apart from our sin, and only by His grace, did He foreknow us and choose us. But that's not all. Watch what He says. According to the foreknowledge of God, secondly, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and thirdly, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours. Now here's what He's saying. As far as God the Father was concerned, I was saved before the foundation of the world as Christ died on the cross. As far as God the Father was concerned before, as far as Jesus was concerned, when He died in time and space 2,000 years ago, forgiveness was provided for all men. And according to the Holy Spirit, the moment as a boy I walked down the Westside Nazarene Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and said an eternal I do to Jesus, I was saved. The Trinity was involved, faith was involved, and even the will of man is involved, but it is all a work of a sovereign God who chose us because He set His affection on us, sent His Son to us, and what He asked you to do today is obey the fact that Jesus died in your stead. Listen, I'm so glad today that God chose me even when I was a sinner. Let the church say amen right there. And because of that, we can focus on the future when trial and difficulty and suffering come. And so look at what he says about the future. He says in verse 3, we have a living hope. We are going to heaven. I want you to understand something, brother. This world is not the end. And so if you're suffering right now, if you're walking through something right now, please understand this. It ain't permanent. It's not going to last forever. It's going to pass because one of these days we're going to heaven. Doesn't that make you glad? Aren't you excited about that? Man, I think about that sometime, that this is not all that there is, that we're going to meet God, we're going to see God, we're going to have a hallelujah glory time when we get up to heaven, and it's all by God's grace. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy... You're not saved because you've done something for God. You sinned against God, and He had mercy on you, has caused us to be born again, underline this in your Bible, to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, here's what He does. He connects our eternity with His resurrection. He connects our suffering with His resurrection. Now, listen, let me ask you a question. Is your trial greater than the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is your financial, is your domestic, is your economic problem greater than the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is your struggle to find out who you are and be affirmed and be validated greater than the resurrection of Jesus Christ? No. And that's what he's saying. If God can raise the dead, if God can raise up Jesus from the dead to give you justification, the same God can walk with you in power when you're struggling. He says we have a living hope. He says we have, secondly, an internal inheritance. Look at verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. The word imperishable means it's untouched by death. The word undefiled means it's unsustained by evil. And the word unfading means it's unimpaired by time. We're going to heaven. And listen to this. There's something waiting for you when you get to heaven. There is, for the child of God, an inheritance. Whatever you're going through, it's going to pass. Remember the old preacher? Somebody asked him what his favorite verse in the Bible was, and he said, "And it came to pass." Everything you're going through is going to come, but it's going to pass, and we're going to a place, he says, that is pure. He says that is perfect. It is unaffected by our now. The time, the space can never wear it out. It's going to always be brilliant, and the brilliance of His glory will never fade. And then he says in verse 5, we have a guaranteed arrival. It'll be there when we get there. Look at verse 5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. He's not talking about being so heavenly minded, but here's what he's talking about. He's talking about God's power to keep you through your suffering, to keep you through your trial. Are you aware of this? That all around us is the workings of a supernatural God. Within us, there's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that He's the guarantee. He is the down payment for our eternity. The reason we know we're going to get to eternity is because God has put the deposit of the Holy Spirit within us. There's the supernatural working of God's Spirit within you right now. Regardless of the trial, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the difficulty, right now, there's the guaranteed working of the Holy Spirit. And when God calls us home to be with Him, or Jesus comes, it is the Spirit of God who has quickened our spirit that's going to take us into heaven. But even now, there's the supernatural protection of angels all around us. The angels of God that He's put in charge over us, working all around us. God says, as you walk through difficulty, as you walk through trial, as you walk through pain, as you walk through heartache, as you go through the distressful of life, I want you to know that the protection of God is there, and because of your salvation, based upon my grace, based upon the death of my Son, you're going to glory, and life as you know it will be so phenomenal you can't even believe it. A little while ago, when Jennifer was about to sing that song, and did she not sing the song? Somebody help me preach. Before she sang the song, she came over and she said, "I want to thank you for letting me sing the song." Now, I want to tell you, I don't have any power over that, but I felt pretty, "Oh, okay, you can sing it." And she said, "Well, my grandmother had 10 children, and she said they'd work in the field. And she said sometimes they would come alongside their mom, and they would say, 'Mama, are you okay? Are you all right?' And she would say to them, 'I'm weary. I'm just a little bit weary.'" How many of you know if you had 10 children, you have a right to be weary? And she would say, "I'm weary, I'm tired." And Jen said, her grandfather told her that oftentimes she longed to go home to be with the Lord. And he said, on the night that she was passing, she rolled over in her bed and she said, "He's coming and I'm going. He's coming and I'm going." I want you to know, for the child of God, listen to me, all the stuff you're walking through right now pales in comparison to the glory of the bright light of the Son of God. We are going to heaven. You can bank on that. Focus on the future. Number two, focus on your faith. Now notice what he says. Down in verse 6 and 7, he tells us how we can focus on our faith. In verse 6, it is faith as it relates to perspective, to how you see things. Look at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. Now, in what do we greatly rejoice? The fact that we're going to heaven. The fact that we're kept by the power of God. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, come back with me, here's what he says, come back with me now. Come back to earth with me. Even though now, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now, Peter's not looking through rose-colored glasses, and so he's not living in denial, and he comes back and he says, hey, it's okay. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to question. It's okay to walk through the pain. It's okay to say, God, I've never been here. It's okay to say, God, do you know how this makes me feel? God, I'm distressed. God, I'm grieved. And Peter says, it's okay to say that. But now listen to me. It's okay to say I'm grieved, but it's not okay to be immobilized. In other words, when your suffering comes, take a perspective. Take a look. Take a look to God and what He has in store for you and where you are. Don't stop. Don't quit on God. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop the disciplines of the Christian life. Don't stop witnessing and sharing. It's okay to be grieved, but being grieved is not the same as being immobilized. You have to understand there's a perspective. And then look at what he says in verse 7. Faith as it reveals our current condition. That the proof, underline that in your Bible, that the proof of your faith. Now, how many of you know this morning, church, everybody can shout when all the bills are paid. Everybody can shout when there's meat on the table. Oh, everybody can shout when the baby's well and everybody's doing good and the job promotion comes through. But every once in a while, the father says to his children, hey, how you guys doing? And we say, God, never been better. Okay, speed bump. Here comes a bump in the road. Now, how are you going to react now? When sickness comes, how are you going to react now? Many, many years ago when I was a very young preacher, I was preaching a revival down in Green Cove Springs, Florida, at the Russell Baptist Church. Dr. Jack had been the pastor there for over 30 years. He knew everybody in Green Cove and everybody around Clay County. And I remember I preached two revivals for him back to back, and I met a couple in his church who lived on the lake. Wonderful people. And the summer before I preached that fall, they had lost their son in a car accident. And you know how when you meet some people, these are just solid, grounded people. You don't know what's happened to them, but you know that there's a maturity level about them, that there's something that attracts you to them. And I remember having found out the night before we went to eat with them about the loss of their son, and I wanted to broach the subject with them, and it was a little bit awkward for me. And finally, when I did, the father put his arm on my shoulder, and he said, Rick, it's okay. It's okay. And I wondered, dear God, with the greatest loss that a man can have, how can he say, it's okay? And then God says to my heart, it's his faith. It's his faith in me. You see, sometimes God allows speed bumps. Sometimes God allows difficulties. Sometimes God allows trials so that you and I can trust Him and put our faith in Him. But then thirdly, watch this. Focus on your faith. Faith through the refiner's fire. Look at verse 7 again. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what he's saying. Malachi says that God sets, like a refiner sets over the fire, and he watches the dross and the impurities burn out of the gold. Now, the refiner knows how hot the fire should be. He knows when to lower the fire, and he knows when to raise the fire. Here's what he's trying to do. He's burning all of the impurities out of the gold so that only the purity in the gold will last. And do you know, church, how he knows when the gold is ready? When the refiner can see his face in the gold. He watches to see His reflection. And sometime God the Father allows us to go through the sorrows and the sufferings and the difficulties of life. Why? He is conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And here's what He delights in. Not in your comfort, but you're being conformed into His image. And here's what He waits for. Can He see His reflection in you? Can He see the face of Jesus in you? So when you're going through the trials, I remember old Dr. Manly Beasley used to say, God is using the heavenly sandpaper. God is taking everything off of me that does not look like Jesus. So when you're going through suffering, focus on the future. Focus on your faith. And thirdly, focus on your foundation. Look at verse 8 and 9. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Would you say amen to that, church? And though you do not see Him now, you believe Him. Would you say amen to that? And you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now what He tells us in verse 8 is this. We have an unseen Savior. Maybe Simon Peter was a pastor of some of these churches in Asia Minor. He certainly was known, and maybe he is writing, and as he is writing, he is thinking about that young couple in his church who lost their child, and he writes these words to encourage them. Or maybe he's writing to that father who, because of his faith in Christ, was ostracized from his family. His business was taken away from him, and his children were taken away from him, and maybe he's thinking about him. Or maybe he's thinking about that mom who just got the call that she has a terminal illness. And what I'm telling you is this. Peter's not just writing empty phrases. No. He has something in mind. In verse 8, it's Jesus he's thinking about. And he says, just because you can't see Him doesn't mean He doesn't exist. And when trials come, we say, where are you, God? There have been things in the last 3 years that have broken your heart and that have broken my heart. We have seen some of our people suffer and our hearts have been broken. There have been people who've done things to you and around you and people in your family who've made foolish mistakes. And you wondered, God, what's this all about? There are times when we wonder, God, what has been going on? Why do certain things happen? What is God doing? And here's what He's saying to you. In verse 8, here's what He's saying to you. He's saying to you, even though you suffer, He loves you. And you keep your love strong for Him, for Jesus. And then verse 9, you have an outcome that is certain. Look at verse 9. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, Bible scholars differ here. Some Bible scholars say that Peter is talking again about the future and what's coming in the future. But grammatically, it seems to me that he's not so much talking about the future as he is in verse 8. Now watch this. Watch this very carefully. Stay with me for a moment. He's not necessarily talking about our salvation being fulfilled in the future, but that our salvation is fulfilled in Christ and that Christ is our inheritance. Dr. Ray Stedman, I have many of his books in my library. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says, church. We inherit Jesus. He is our inheritance. He is our resource from which we draw. If you receive an inheritance, you live on it. You use your inheritance to enrich yourself. So Jesus is our inheritance. We can enrich ourselves with Him at any moment. He is our power, our strength, our love, our life, our wisdom, our truth. He is what we live by. Christ is our life. But, and this is a wonderful thing, he says, we are His inheritance. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think that you are God's inheritance? He draws on us. Our bodies and souls, our full humanity, are to be His to use to manifest the new creation in the middle of the destruction of the old. That is His inheritance in the saints that produces riches not only in our lives, but in the lives of others as well, and in the world in general, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Here's what He's saying. Not only are you excited about what is to come. Listen to this, guys. Listen to this. He's excited to get you there. I have heard old saints say, as a matter of fact, I have heard people beg to die. It's quite disconcerting. But I have heard people beg to die. We had a dear, sweet lady in Hazelhurst when we were pastoring there many, many years ago. And she got very, very sick with bone cancer, and she was in racked pain all of her life, and she begged my wife one day, "Cheryl, take my life." And then right before they die, they talk about seeing the face of Jesus, and they talk about being homesick for heaven. I want to tell you something this morning. Listen to me. Not only does the saint get homesick for heaven, but heaven gets homesick for the saint. Did you know that God can't wait for you to get there? The Bible says, "Blessed are the death of the saint in the eyes of the Lord." Did you know that God can't wait for you to get home? Do you know that God wants His children to come home? My grandmother on my dad's side, her name was Opal, but I called her Pawpaw. Now, she was a woman, but I called her Pawpaw. And because I called her Pawpaw, everybody else did. And Pawpaw wanted all of her children right. She was like a mama hen. And when she was happy, when all of her children were right there, all of her children and grandchildren and great-grand, if they were right there, well, I'll tell you something. God's got the heart of Papa. He's saying, "I'm looking forward to the day when my children will be here and my inheritance comes home." I'll tell you something. Your suffering may be great now, and I do not dare minimize it. But it will pale in comparison when we get home to be with our Lord. A little bit of faith will get you into heaven, but a whole lot of faith will get heaven into you. I want you to bow with me for a moment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Here's what I want to do this morning very quickly. I know the time is late. And here's what I want to do. In a moment, our pastors and our deacons and their wives will come down the side to pray with you should you need somebody to pray with you. And if you're going through some of the trials and difficulties and hardships of life, and you just need somebody to pray with you, in a moment, when we stand and begin to sing, would you just slip out of that chair or that pew and down this aisle, if you're in the balcony, we'll certainly have time to wait. And grab one of our deacons or one of our pastors who's present and just say, "Pray with me." Or you may just want to make your way to the altar. There may be some stuff going on in your life that you need to share, but there may be some stuff so personal that you can't share it at all. But you want to spend some time this morning in prayer. And then secondly, if you've not come to faith in Christ, why not today? Why not today? Today is the day of your salvation. God's choice, God's chosen you, apart from your sin, by His grace, through the death of His Son, to be saved and to know Jesus. You may be looking for a church home. You may have been saved but not baptized. God wants to do a work in our lives. Sweet people, would you stand, please? Pastor Steve and the praise team is going to lead us. Our pastors who are present are coming. Our deacons are coming. If you need to come, right now, don't wait, right now, come.
We fall down, we lay high.